And I thought, you know, that was so cool. Like, you can, for example, if you're really passionate about health, you can also incorporate that with solving the climate crisis. Because really, I think any job now could be a climate job if you find a way for, if you find a way to connect it with climate action. With like Dr. Howard, I think her job was super inspirational. And then I also met lawyers who were also climate activists who were fighting on behalf of children and youths who have suffered from climate anxiety. And then they were able to sue Shell in, I think it was in the Dutch courts, and then they were able to win and then mandate Shell to reduce their emissions, I think by 35% by 2050, I remember. And but that decision recently was overturned, so that's quite scandalous. But but just in terms of careers, I mean, there's so many different paths you could pursue and also become a climate activist at the same time. So I think there's so much out there for young people. So yeah, follow your passions.
Thank you for the inspirational message. I am inspired myself. I hear you. I hear you. I think that's one thing that would be interesting to approach, would be the Conference of the Parts that has just finished happening, if I'm not wrong. It's finished last week. I'm not
I
sure
think it
about.
finished on the 22nd. It was,
Yes.
yeah.
It's around that. Basically, I wanted to know how, like, if you had the opportunity to follow. Unfortunately, SFU didn't have a delegation this year, both
Oh.
because they had a really large delegation last year, according to their website, but also because they are preparing to have a really big delegation next year. So it's basically a transitional moment. So it's interesting to have someone who, such as you, who knows a little bit more about it, that could maybe bring us whatever you follow that you think that was important out of this meeting. I think that's one thing here is that we didn't have multiple leaders from multiple countries attending. They were all like taking back because they have next year that's already gonna be important. You have a political transition in the U.S. You had the president of Brazil sick and not wanting and not able to attend. You have the G20 happening really close by, so that was, as far as I've learned, opportunity for diplomats of all countries to really get in touch with each other without the interference of politicians. So, do you see any benefits on that? What can you bring to us on what happened this year?
Can I be super honest
Yes, of
about my
course.
thoughts? Well, I am very disappointed with what I've read about COP29. It's just the final decision of 300 billion, I think that has to be delivered from developed countries to developing countries via the Green Climate Fund to help them transition into a net zero economy, I think is very lackluster and it's not enough. I think for a lot of countries, I mean, just talking about from like losses, like from climate disasters, right? With all the floods that have happened, I think back in 2022, I read this article that said, in terms of insurance, actually, a lot of these countries are uninsured, and these losses were up to $2 billion in uninsurable losses. And that was just with, I think, Pakistan that experienced the floods, and that was $2 billion just from that one event. And to think if we had many more frequent and severe, I don't know, storms or floods or more disasters, $300 billion is not enough. It's not enough to cover these losses. It's not enough to help communities rebuild. And it's also not enough to ensure that they can transition to renewable energy fast enough. I think the realistic number was supposed to be $3 trillion, which is like, I 300 billion is not enough. That's just my final thought. And just from reading the news, I feel like even though the 300 billion was declared. I mean, the previous target that was set in the Paris Agreement was that developed countries would transfer over 100 billion US dollars to developing countries. And even at the end, I think it was during COP28, I read this article that said actually they never even reached the 100 billion target. And the highest I think they got to was 80 billion. So if you can't even reach the 100 billion, what's to say that they're going to reach the 300 billion target? And how can they actually realistically support these countries who actually need around $3 trillion? It just made me feel very pessimistic, because I think with current political climates that's been happening in the US and also in Canada, I think the world is turning a lot more inwards, like, for example, Canada and the US with like increasing costs of living. A lot of people are not electing politicians that prioritize funding overseas. So I think it's going to be very difficult to get public finance to developing countries. And we're going to have to involve the private sector. And that's essentially what blended finance is, right? Because in order to reach this 300 billion target, I don't think public finance is going to be enough. And I think we need to involve big corporations. But then that also brings another question of like, we're bringing in private interests into for example, like helping, I don't know, a developing country implement a solar grid, or we're bringing a lot more private interests into more, I think it's supposed to be public spaces. So it is going to be quite disastrous in the future, I think. So I don't know how optimistic I feel about COP at the moment, but I just want to say that I felt disappointed by the final result.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, out of my head, Brazil lost approximately 20 billion just in floods this year.
Just to think, that's just Brazil. And Brazil's like, and there are many countries like Brazil in the world. So,
and that's just one type of environmental disaster. We're not talking about the burning forests. We're not talking about, there's so much to put in motion. So like, what is 300 billion away? And more specifically, I've come to realize many countries are like afraid of saying, hey, we're putting this money into another country, especially with a more a less progressive governments being elected around the world as of this moment. So like, how are we looking at this public message of we want more nationalism, but we are also looking for other countries funding developing countries? You know, it's a confusing message in terms of international relations. So I think that much of what you brought here makes a lot of sense. And do you have anything to connect with what you expect for next year? Like, do you have any like, first of all, in retrospect, what for this year's one, what we are missing that we need to target next year's as environmental activists? And yeah, that's the question.
I think, well, from my personal interests, like I am really interested in climate finance, so I've been paying a lot more attention to that. I would want to see more concrete messaging on the loss and damage fund, for example, because that was declared in COP27, and then in COP28, I think they poured around like 300 million into it or so. And Canada, I remember, contributed around like 11 million into the fund. And then the fund was said to be managed by the World Bank, which is a very controversial manager again. But there hasn't been a lot of concrete messaging when it comes to the loss and damage funding COP29. And I hope to see something related to that in COP30, where we would get an actual mechanism for like administering money from this fund. Like I said, when I talked about the parametric insurance, when you don't have a middle manager when it comes to administering money right after a disaster event, like how would a country be able to claim a loss, right? It's just like with an insurance event. Like if you crash your car, you have to claim this loss, right? And then they send an adjuster over to assess this loss, and then they give you the money as compensation. But I mean, when a country experiences a disaster, especially a developing country, they don't have the capacity to rebuild. How much time would they have to wait for adequate funding? And there's only 300 million in that fund, and that's not enough to even cover a single country. So I hope to see more policies related to the loss and damage fund, and I hope that it gets to be managed by an organization that doesn't delay the delivery of funding. So that's I think that's for my personal interest. So that's why I've been paying a lot more attention to that.
And we have 1 year to prepare for it. It's been told that it's gonna be a really big one next year. I mean, 30 or 15 years after the Paris Agreement, it's a lot on the game, and I bet it's gonna be a huge discussion around those issues. You're planning on being there?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think because right now, I think number one, my priority is to, I think, get through my courses, get through my schooling, do some internships. So I'm not sure if I'll get time off work. But I think just given the fact that I am feeling a bit pessimistic about COPs right now, I think the chance to go should go to another student in order for them to learn more about this process and what they can contribute to COP. Because for me, I've had this chance and I feel like I've learned a lot already, but I don't want to have to be able to waste another plane ticket and waste another hotel trip to, and I think that should go to someone else in order to for their learning journey. For me, I think I've had enough of COPs for now.
Well, I don't. I never like. I never enjoy finishing with a negative message. So I want to know, where are you seeing hope right now? What is the thing that you look at for environmental change? Or maybe if you're feeling too pessimistic about that right now, where are you finding hope on your daily life to continue pursuing everything you're pursuing?
This is actually something I've been thinking about this whole year. It's just ever since I came back from COP, I've kind of realized that these big conferences, I think it's very glamorous and you feel like you're making a lot of change. But again, I rarely see any feasible, I think feasible change that comes from this in the real world. And I think I've realized that real impact really comes from acting locally and like involving yourself locally in your city or in your province, in your own country. I think making that local change a lot of the times is more effective than what I've seen at COP. And for myself, I'm working with this another delegate who I met at COP28, who's from UBC. And I have been trying to find funding to launch my own nonprofit. I really want to launch a nonprofit to help Chinese international students or people who don't speak English, who come from China, to be able to participate in climate action. So I want to be able to connect students in China who don't necessarily speak English with students in Canada. And then it kind of works like a pen pal system. They could connect and then they could exchange more knowledge and bridge this gap that I was talking about earlier. So I think that's something that has been giving me hope, is like, I think really taking action on my own and kind of finding hope locally.
I love this message finding hope locally. I think it's something that speaks a lot to me too.
Yeah.
It's hard, but whenever it happens, it's really inspirational and it's tangible change. You see people enjoying it. You get a fund for a park, you can see the park being revitalized and taken care. It's that kind of stuff that really matters. In the end of the day, like, shaping whatever you are at. So, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I think that's for questions. That was it. I really appreciate you being here. I think I've learned a lot from you, and I bet that every listener has also learned.
Thank you so much. Hopefully I wasn't too rambly.
You were not. I always enjoy asking this as well. Any last message that you want to put out, or is that okay for you?
I think my main message to students at SFU is really any career, again, like I said, could be a climate career. I think if you just follow your passions, you can always find a way for your job to benefit climate action in some way and have impact in some way. And it's not just, you don't have to necessarily become a politician or go to COP to make impact. You can make impact anywhere with any job. So I think really, yeah, follow your passions and just follow your own career path, and then that can become a climate job.
I couldn't say. Every year cross hands and knees, summer black and haze. On New Year's Day, my mind wanders far away. First 2 hours they can't be traced. It's like I'm trying not to age. I'm up.
Atención.
Yuca Stereo. Yuca Stereo. Domingos, 6 a 8 p.m. 6 a 8 p.m. 90.1 CJSF Radio.
CJSF
90.1 90.1 FM Yuca Stereo. Yuca Stereo.
Atención.
Are you passionate about skiing and looking for a way to give back this season? Join Canadian Adaptive Snow Sports and help us make a real impact by volunteering your time. From teaching adaptive skiing or snowboarding techniques to supporting our events, there's a role for everyone. Visit our website at www.cads.ski to learn more, volunteer, or make a donation.
And you have just listened to On New Year's Day by Wes Carroll Confabulation with their album Hellion. Well, continuing here, now I'll be transitioning to another song. But first of all, just what is upcoming next? Stay tuned for conversations from SFU Faculty of Communication, Art and Technology from 4 to 4:30. And following next, I have Stella in the Sky from Abby Mazen Brink with their album Rising. Enjoy! Welcome back, my name is Iago, and you have just listened to Stella in the Sky. The following music is gonna be Throw Me a Bone by Energy Slime, and I hope you like the song.
Throw me a bone.
Thank you for staying tuned in. I always appreciate it. And you have just listened in today for another episode of Open Mic. It's always a pleasure to be here diving into random people's stories that I meet on a bus, that I meet elsewhere, uncovering some of their life details, some of their background, some of their personal interests. And if you want to continue learning more about any of these long life lessons that last forever, just stay tuned in. I always follow up my open mic next week. And the next song you're going to hear, and the last one, is going to be Pomegranate Seeds from Future Star. I hope you have an excellent rest of your week. Thank you so much.